You're talking implosion, you're talking emotional eruption, outburst. People are afraid to address their triggers because there's so much fear and shame. We should not be afraid of exploring the source of our triggers. It is our place of power. When we look at our triggers as our opportunity, it opens doors. You may have gone your whole life melting down on every person that left a dirty dish on your counter. Let me put it in the dishwasher where it belongs. No argument, no fight, no emotional meltdown.
You're listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall.
Hey friends, Dan Duvall here to give you a few announcements. Number one, these podcasts have been short nuggets lately, and that's because we're building a new studio. We were renting a studio and we had done some interviews and we're very proud of those interviews, but we are now building our own. And so that will be done in a few weeks. We're gonna get back on the whole adventure of doing interviews. But until then, we've been doing these. So thanks for journeying with us. I do want to give you a couple other announcements. For those of you that haven't been following the church, but just follow the podcast, I want you to know that we're almost done with our new church building, and we're very excited. And I want to give you guys that listen to this podcast a personal invitation. Come down to Katy, Texas sometime and hang out with us at the local church and check out our building. We should be moving in, hopefully, by the end of the month. We couldn't be more excited. But it has also been the cause for an additional pull. There have been a lot of pulls on me lately. So yeah, I apologize. This podcast has not been every week like I would prefer, but we'll get there. We will get there. Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall is the home of this podcast. Check it out. Become a podcast patron. Get some merch. And with that said, we're going to get right to the show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Hey friends, Dan Duvall. And today I am here to give you a nugget on the subject of triggers. So a trigger is a stimulus that elicits a reaction. Triggers sit at different levels of our design. And we're gonna talk about three. Keep in mind 1 Thessalonians 5:23. The Bible says, "May the God of all peace sanctify you completely. I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." The Bible teaches a triune man, man in three parts. Then the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, "The word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, bone and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So this is how it works. God has created man in three parts, and every part of our design has intelligence, it has emotion, it has will. That applies to the body as much as it applies to the soul, as much as it applies to the spirit. And so when we begin to talk about how triggers affect us at different levels, what we have to understand is the body is triggerable. The body, in fact, is extraordinary in its design and nature. And it is intelligent. In fact, the Bible, not even the Bible, but the science itself has defined the gut as the second brain. And what I say is, I believe that the consciousness, literally the intelligence of the body, sits in the gut. And the body can tell us a lot of information. And there are scientific, medical, and other research papers demonstrating the validity of certain types of muscle testing as being useful in getting information about what the body needs and what is going to put the body on the best path to health. The truth is, the body has the ability to store memory as well as emotion. Now, when it comes to triggers on the body, some of these are extremely basic. For instance, if a person has a dairy allergy and they decide to drink a half gallon of milk, guess what? They are going to trigger a response in their digestive system. And it's not going to be pretty. Allergens and pollen can trigger certain reactions. A person can have a histamine reaction triggered by certain stimuli. So the body definitely has triggers. Those are environmental, chemical, biological triggers that affect in certain ways and cause reaction. And also, when the body has certain muscle memory, you will see that engaging in certain activities will trigger those muscle memories, and the person can perform almost without thinking about what they're doing, kind of like riding a bike or catching a football or, you know, performing a certain kind of sports when there's a lot of practice involved. You know, a person gets going and it's like the body remembers how to do what it was trained to do. And so you can trigger even muscle memory by engaging in similar activities. So triggers definitely apply to the physical body. Now, when we get to the soul, this is where it gets a lot of fun, because I say triggers on the soul are an opportunity. Now let's talk about a classic example. You have a person that under normal circumstances, I mean reasonably, they're cool. Like, I mean, you could have all kinds of stuff going on. People screaming, a car accident down the street, you know, they keep a calm head. You know, the Dodgers lose the World Cup. It's like, well, you know, they're cool, but don't leave a dirty plate on the counter, because that will end this person's world. I mean, it's over. You're talking implosion. You're talking emotional eruption, outburst, just everything falls apart, because who in their right mind does not put a dirty plate in the dishwasher? That's why the dishwasher is there. It was a device designed explicitly for the sake of keeping people in a state of mental and emotional peace. So no one had to leave a dirty dish on the counter ever again. Just put it in the dishwasher. So this person may be married to a lovely person that under most reasonable circumstances is a thinking person. But sometimes they forget their brain and leave the plate dirty on the counter. Uh-oh, here it comes. Now, when that plate is observed by the individual that can't take it, a trigger ensues. And they go from being a very reasonable person, emotionally regulated person, to losing it. I mean, it all falls apart. And suddenly their Christian ethos is just out the door, and the devil incarnate comes out. Man, oh man, do we mess up today. And you know, this couple may land in marriage counseling. And the interesting thing about marriage counseling on subjects like this is often you'll find, especially in the secular world, that the wisdom sits with avoiding and managing your spouse's triggers. So they'll say, well, look, why would you leave that plate on the counter when you know that your spouse is going to completely melt down over that behavior? The best way to find a manageable solution to this relationship is to avoid the trigger and manage the trigger. So people are having to learn how to tiptoe around the things that trigger their loved ones. We just learn to try to avoid that, or we don't, and we just suffer the consequences of total emotional meltdowns, extended fights that last 2-3 hours or 2 or 3 days. Who knows how long this thing's going to go on? That plate is a major offense here. We might get a divorce over this thing. Who knows the outcome? Now, let me just say this. In my mind and perspective, we can live a life where we externalize our triggers on other people's behavior. We say, well, the trigger sits in me, but it is the responsibility of every reasonable person around me to just not do the things that trigger me, because that makes sense. So if it happens, then I'm justified in my emotional meltdown and my behavior that is unchristlike. The other alternative is to look at that and say, wait a minute, maybe my behavior is not Christ-like because something's broken in me. And maybe my uncontrollable emotional response is actually anchored to something God wants to fix. And so we can either just get mad at the people that do things that trigger us, or we can take that trigger and say, I'm going to go to God. Now, when we go with the alternative, we actually enter a whole different realm. It's a realm of revelation. It's a realm of healing. Because when we trigger, I say if, I say when, that to me is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to say, is there a deeper issue that my emotional fallout is anchored to? Because the truth is, yeah, there probably is. And when God puts his finger on it and heals it, you know the most amazing thing happens? The trigger goes away. You know, you may have gone your whole life melting down on every person that left a dirty dish on your counter. And all of a sudden, wake up one day after God deals with the root of that thing, see a dirty plate on a counter and have no emotional response at all. Or such a mild emotional response, it shocks even you. Huh, oh, a dirty plate was left on that counter. Let me put it in the dishwasher where it belongs. No argument, no fight, no emotional meltdown. Just the same reasonability that shows up in all these other areas of my life. The truth is, triggers often sit in our lives relative to the soul as a result of the things we've endured. One example, and in this example with the plate on the counter, could look like that individual also having an unreasonably obsessive parent or guardian that was unkind and even abusive towards them as a young child when they themselves violated the golden rule, thou shalt not leave a dirty plate on the counter. And so in response to that treatment, there was a degree of dissociation. And that child developed what we could call maybe a performer part. And that performer part performed to unrealistic expectations to maintain safety. So the unrealistic expectation that a maybe five-year-old child will always know to put a plate in the dishwasher or else suffer abusive consequences now produces a performer part in that child that will go to unrealistic lengths to ensure that their environments are super clean and leading to obsessive behaviors. In fact, they inherit the same obsessive compulsive dynamic on certain items that was modeled for them by their own parents. Now, as life goes on, that performer part may find that their relevance becomes less and less. You know, the person gets on their own, maybe they spend 7 or 8 years single and they just have their own environment always under their own governance. So it's not an issue. And when people meet them, they think, oh, wow, this person is just absolutely normal and a reasonable person. Get in a relationship, then they, you know, get married, leave their first plate on the counter, realize it's not all reasonability in there. So there's actually, a whirlwind of hurt if you do that thing. And so, you know, we get to that point where it's like, why is this behavior happening? And the truth is, when that dirty plate goes on the counter, the same protector that kept clean environments when that child was five because of fear and shame and anxiety now gets triggered back to the surface from its cozy place deep and hidden in the subconscious and begins to act out of those emotions of shame and fear and anxiety. And what comes out is unchristlike behavior. And the truth is, what Jesus wants to do is go to that protector five-year-old that was dissociated in response to that unkind behavior that person had to endure themselves and heal. Let that broken five-year-old piece of soul offload that shame and that fear and that anxiety onto Jesus, and maybe even integrate with the core. Because when we resolve that trauma that sits as the root of the trigger, the next time that person sees that plate on the counter, that five-year-old protector or performer isn't there to trigger to the surface with all of those overwhelming emotions. And the response becomes, huh, they left that plate on a counter. Let me put it in the dishwasher where it belongs. No fight, no fuss, no mess. The beautiful thing about this is when we look at our triggers as our opportunity, God begins to do amazing things in our lives. And the result is we have a different experience with the people around us. Suddenly people around us become more, they feel safer. People like being around us more. It's less stressful for people to hang out around us. So our relationships improve in every area, and it opens doors. You know, there are people that they just seem to never get picked for a promotion. It's, you know, and they feel targeted for that. It's like, well, you know, every time I get into a job, I always get stuck. I always get overlooked. But maybe the overlooking is happening in response to unhealed triggers. You know, because sometimes people look at a person and they're like, wow, this person is highly triggerable. There's a lot of reasons why they emotionally fall out, or they respond poorly to constructive feedback. If they were promoted to a higher position or made a manager or given more authority or power, it would be detrimental to other employees. So let's overlook them with all of their triggers and promote someone that is perceived as more stable or just a better suck up. And, you know, the reality is, for that reason, when we begin to allow Jesus to heal our triggers, it can open doors of promotion because people look at us different. They see something different and they experience something different. I've sat down with many, many broken people over the past 12, 13 years of my life. And I have seen triggers in many shapes, in many forms, in many colors sitting in the soul. And what I promise you is I have never seen a trigger that Jesus wasn't interested in healing. There isn't a single part of you, friend, that Jesus doesn't love. And sometimes people are afraid to address their triggers or the root of them because there's so much fear and shame associated with why the trigger's there. Can I tell you something? There's nothing you're going to discover about yourself that Jesus doesn't already know and love you in spite of anyway. We should not be afraid of exploring the source of our triggers. It is our place of power to allow Jesus in to those broken places. So that's the triggers on the soul. There are also triggers on the spirit. And the interesting thing is that the soul and spirit are two different persons. I mean, truly, your spirit has an independent mind, will, and emotions from your soul. And for that reason, the spirit will have its own triggers. There are things the spirit likes, and there are things the spirit doesn't like. And sometimes that can be good and bad. You know, there are things that trigger the spirit in a very positive way. There are some people whose spirit actually gets, like we could call it, triggered to the surface on the basis of certain opportunities for activity, like evangelism. There are some people, their human spirit, it is just totally enthusiastic about winning souls. And when the opportunity to win souls comes, that the spirit comes alive. It's a trigger. The opportunity to engage in that activity is a trigger, and the spirit is right to the surface. Another example is genuine worship environment where the heavens are open, angelic activity is robust, and people are actually corporately engaging enthusiastically in the worship and praise of God. And for some people, when they hit that environment, the spirit is, man, right to the surface, so excited, so ready, because that's its place of passion. The spirit loves the environment, and so it triggers a more intense engagement of the spirit. And in opposition to that, there are negative triggers to the spirit. You know, I'll give another example, and this example sits in, I mean, marriages all across America. You know, One of the things the Bible says is women, see that you respect your husbands. And I'm just giving this an example. So, you know, I say this tongue in cheek. I'm not going after anyone here. But you know, sometimes there are women that may not feel it is appropriate to be respectful or honoring towards their husbands. Because look at his behavior. Look at all of the things he's doing the wrong way. He deserves to be disrespected. Maybe if I disrespect him enough, he'll learn to do a better job. So, while that is poor, I would say logic, or just, you know, choices of behavior that come from a place of personal pain and disappointment, when men are disrespected, often the spirit is affected by that in a negative way, and it may just leave. In fact, there's a lot of men whose spirits are not showing up in their family dynamic. I mean, this is like a body walking around with a checked out soul and spirits out the door, because the spirit doesn't want to hang around for the disrespect. And sometimes when there is a respect and an honor that's established in the home, the spirit, not just the soul, but the spirit is positively impacted because it's not negatively triggered. A lot of people don't realize the spirit can abdicate the body and be elsewhere. And this is modeled in the Bible. Samson, in the book of Judges, he kills 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. And then he is just in trauma. I mean, he's thirsty. He thinks he's going to die. He cries out to God and he says, look, you gave me this great victory, but now I'm going to die of thirst. And God says, I'm going to open up this water. So he opens up a rock and he drinks and he's refreshed. And the Bible has the most fascinating language. It says his spirit returned to him, because the body and the soul can operate independent of the spirit being present right on top of it. And this is because of quantum principles. But yes, we are a triune being, spirit, soul, and body. But according even to the description of the body, the spirit can be over here and the body and soul over here. And then the spirit can return. And so one of the things that may drive the spirit away from the body is a condition of physical trauma, but also emotional trauma. And sometimes that emotional trauma can just be deep and habitual disrespect. And so sometimes you have husbands whose spirits have been triggered right out of the home by constant disrespectful behavior. And when that respect and honor is restored, even by faith, the spirit begins to come back and re-engage. And so that is just one example. We could talk about a lot of examples, you know, and just playing to the other side of this thing, you know, men, if you're not properly loving your wife, I mean, if she is feeling the void and the deficit of your passion, your interest, your support, your protection, and her spirit is just as easily driven out of that environment, like not interested in engaging with you. And so, I mean, things like this can go both ways. You can have triggers that actually push the spirit to just throw their hands up in the air and be like, I'm not interested. And you just have two souls interacting, trying to figure it out. And so there are triggers, positive and negative, that sit with the spirit. There are triggers, positive and negative, truly, that sit with the soul and the body. But at the end of the day, when we talk about negative triggers, what I say is we need to look at our triggers as an opportunity, especially in the soul, to let God do something amazing in our lives. You've been listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall. Till next time, God bless and Godspeed.
You've been listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall. Visit me at danduvall.com, where you'll discover merch, books, and the opportunity to engage in our private social network. Join the tribe by subscribing to our email list and supporting this podcast.